Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, we welcome you to our Monday edition of Stand in the Gap Today, and this is your host, Dave Kistler, along with Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Dr. Gary Dull, who's normally on the program with us, is away for some much-needed R&R. But, Sam, we've got a lot to talk about today. Let me just hit some of the highlights, and I want to encourage you, as a member of our listening audience, if you have a friend that's never listened to the program, you may want to take the opportunity to grab your phone, call them, let them know that they need to tune in. We're going to be talking about the Global Climate Conference that's taking place in Paris over the next several days. We're also going to be talking about the change with the National Security Agency's authority to collect phone record data, which ended yesterday. We're going to be talking about the fact of whether that puts us in greater jeopardy or not. And then we're going to be talking about what's taking place between Russia and Turkey, some vitally important things going on there that have what we believe to be possibly keen prophetic significance. Sam, a lot of things to talk about. Before we get into any of that, let me ask you this. Are you still eating leftovers from Thanksgiving Day?
Well, let's put it this way. I think there just might be a little bit left over, Dave. You know, Thanksgiving is one of those meals where it's not just enjoyable because you have family and friends, but that whole normal traditional Thanksgiving meal is one that you can reheat and come back at it, and it's just as good or better after you reheat it. So, that's a good question.
you know, to be honest with you, Sam, I think it's better the third time you've reheated it, to be honest with you. But we've been doing exactly that. We had a tremendous time. I'm sorry I missed you guys on Friday, but we had a family event just a little bit to the west of us that we all were a part of, and that's why I missed the program. But I'm sure it went well. I heard it did. And we're excited to have you, our listening audience, back with us today. Let's jump right into a discussion, Sam, of the Global Climate Conference taking place in Paris. Of course, President Obama is there. Sam, you know, over the last number of weeks, in fact, I guess the last number of months, it started with a statement he made in one of his presidential addresses to Congress, stating that climate change is long-term one of the greatest threats posed to future generations. Of course, that prompted Carly Fiorina, who's one of the GOP presidential candidates this past Sunday, yesterday, to call Obama, quote-unquote, delusional to think that climate change is the country's biggest terror threat. She went on to critique other members of the Democratic Party for trying to draw parallels between the shootings at the Planned Parenthood, the Planned Parenthood shooting over the weekend, and trying to say, you know, that that's something that's created by those that are against abortion. And she talked a little bit about that. Sam, we're going to get into that a little bit later. But let me just read her statement in its entirety. She said, quote, "That's delusional for President Obama, Hillary Clinton, or anyone else to say that climate change is the country's biggest threat." She went on to say this, terrorists don't care what we're doing in Paris other than our presence there provides a target. And President Obama is delusional on this. Now, Sam, let me ask you, is the president delusional by making those comments, or is he something else? Is he trying to accomplish something else by equating climate change with being the most serious issue we face from a security perspective?
Dave, it's both. I think he is delusional, but he's not the only one. Which takes it to the larger question, what you just said, is there something else? And I think there is, in fact, something else, because you have all of these international leaders who he is not the only one. Who
130
is
leaders,
this kind
Sam.
Of thing.
130 leaders, I think it is, that's at this global climate conference. And just before we went live, they basically, some of the leadership made the same statements, or at least indicated the same thing, that this is a huge terror threat. Okay, Sam, let me ask you this. What is the thing that's taking place that's causing them all to talk this way? What is the greater something else going on?
Dave, I think the greater something else has been tied into what we've been seeing for a long time, and it is the push for the emergence of the New World Order. Now, the New World Order is terminology that we all understand started back with George Bush and Henry Kissinger, if not before. It's the United Nations on steroids. But it is, but the New World Order is coming out of the European Union. It is an entity that seeks world dominance, and they have been talking about it for a long time. What they have wanted for a long time, Dave, is a world tax. This governance system that seeks world domination and world governmental control, what they have not had is a funding source. They need tax money, and tied in with this global change has been and is being articulated a world carbon tax. Because it's all based on the concept that it's the burning of carbon fuels that's making the earth heat up, and that's the worst thing since sliced bread. I mean, so that's what they're trying to say, Dave.
So, Sam, what you're saying is this entire climate change, global warming scenario that we hear discussed so directly, so articulately by some of those on the left, what you're saying is, Sam, that this is a ruse for the express purpose of providing a funding mechanism to this new world order.
Well, it is, Dave, and they have said that. Now, it's interesting that if you look at those who have most strongly opposed it, it is Russia. And Russia has said, Putin has said, that it is nonsense. He has called the leaders of the New World Order group, he's called them Satan worshipers. Mm. He has said that he is adamantly opposed and will not, as a nation, go along with this climate nonsense. And he's called it that because he has said it is an attempt by this New World Order Western gang to put a tax on Russian exports, which to energy is the number one export of Russia, and they are really termed the energy leader of the world. So Russia says this is nothing but a backhanded attempt to try and tax us to support you, which we're opposed. But who also opposes it? China. And who also today came out and called it, they called it more than a ruse, India. India accuses Obama, quote, carbon imperialism. India. Now think about it. Russia and China and India and Iran and a few of these other nations are a part of the new Euro-Asian Economic Union. And it's East versus West. This climate discussion going on, which frankly is supported by the Pope. The Pope is down in Africa today. The Pope is in Africa promoting climate change, saying that the New World Order, the United Nations, must pursue this thing because it is the highest threat to security of the world. So the Pope is in on this. And of course, he talked about it when he was over here with the tour of Washington. So the Pope's in on it. The European Union and the Western world's on it. And who's opposing it? The Eastern Euro-Asia Coalition. Dave, this is more than significant, I think, as this is lining up.
Well, Sam, it is. It's phenomenally significant. And I know we could talk probably the entire program on this. Before we go to the break, I want to ask you this question because something happened over the weekend in Colorado. There was a gentleman who appeared to be just a crazed gunman who shot some folks both inside and outside a Planned Parenthood facility. Sam, following the break, I want to ask you a couple of questions because some have tried to tie this shooting to the criticism that has taken place by those on the right or conservatives of the tactics of Planned Parenthood, that is the selling of fetal body parts. I want to ask you, Sam, is there any connection? We'll let you answer the question following our return from the break. Friends, also we're going to be talking about the national security's end of their ability to collect phone record data, which ended yesterday. Is that an added security issue now for the United States of America? We're going to be talking about a lot of this and much more, so come back immediately following these messages after the break.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Do you have a 401k and are unsure what to do with it? Are your retirement savings actively managed? Hi, this is Mark Magruder, an enrolled agent, tax advisor, and wealth manager at the Life Financial Group, a wealth management firm specializing in helping successful Christian families make wise financial decisions so they can better provide for their families, plan for retirement, and fund kingdom ministries. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "It is required of stewards that they be found faithful." If you'd like to work with someone of like faith in the areas of taxes, investments, insurance, retirement, or discuss Social Security and estate planning, give me a call to set up a comprehensive financial review at no cost to you. Call me today, 1-800-688-5800. That's 800-688-5800. Or visit us online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
"Without God, liberty will not last," a quote from Thomas Jefferson.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The celebrated jumping frog of Calaveras County was his first popular story, written while in San Francisco. He then sailed to Palestine and wrote the book Innocence Abroad. While on this trip, he saw a picture of his friend's sister, Olivia, and fell in love. Immediately upon his return, he met and married her, and under her encouragement, his writing greatly improved. His name was Mark Twain, born this day, November 30th, 1835. Regarding the Holy Land, Mark Twain wrote, "Our Savior spent his life preaching his gospel and performing his miracles within a compass no larger than an ordinary county of the United States."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? I know you always said how important it is, but the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading by Linda Monk says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, "we the people" didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians for Restoring Education brought you this message. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, we welcome you back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is your host, Dave Kistler, along with Sam Rohr. And friends, if you would like to know more about the program, again, we encourage you to visit our radio website, which is simply standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. You can learn about the other two programs that are part of our network. And also you can learn something about Sam, Dr. Gary Dahl, and myself, your humble hosts. But please visit that. And also, Sam, I want to just point out one of our partners, which is a real blessing to Stand the Gap Radio, and that is BJU Press. And if I could just give a personal testimony here, my wife and I homeschooled our children because of our travels in evangelism, and we used BJU Press homeschool materials. When I was a school administrator for about 2 years, we used BJU Press materials in our private Christian school, both of which, the homeschool materials, the Christian school materials, Sam, were top tier. They were absolutely the best. They taught young people to think and to reason. And so I can't say enough about the materials produced by BJU Press. I think your family also used them as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Dave, you're right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because our partners here that our listeners understand when they hear different messages to the program are very, very important to this program and for the ability to be able to bring what we're talking about, Standing the Gap today, across the nation. And BJU Press, in particular, along with Life Financial Group, are two entities that that actually provide things for Christians. From they are believers, they're Christian people in both cases. One in financial areas that help with wills and estates, and help people to invest properly so that they can not only be good stewards before the Lord in what they do here, but also to leave a legacy for their children, which is what something or to a Christian work, which is what they ought to do. But BJU Press, in particular, as you mentioned, is one that that emphasizes a biblical worldview. That's what we talk about here. And they, of all of the Christian textbook publishers in the country, and there's only a handful that are there, they are the top of the line from an academic perspective. And it's really great, not just for homeschoolers, but for Christian schools alike. So, Dave, thanks for bringing that up. But I just encourage our listeners to listen to these things and express your support and take advantage of these opportunities that they present.
Well, you know, Sam, we're thrilled to have BJU Press as one of our partners. But when you've been on the receiving end, which our family has, of the quality of materials that they produce, when you are impressed by something and are sold on something yourself, you want to spread that around, share it with others. And so that's really my major motivation for doing that today, because it was a great blessing to our family. Well, let's do this. Let me go back to the question, Sam, that I asked you right before we went into the break, and that is this: the Colorado shootings over the weekend by this gentleman, Robert Louis Deere, who actually has a connection to the Carolinas, where I'm from. He actually had some shanty, I would say, Sam, located in the western part of the state of North Carolina. Spent some time there, some time in South Carolina, as well as out in Colorado, where he perpetrated these horrific acts over the weekend. Sam, there's been an attempt on the part of those on the left to want to tie him to those of us who oppose abortion, while never, absolutely never condoning anything remotely close to what this gentleman did at this abortion clinic, this Planned Parenthood clinic. Though we disagree with Planned Parenthood, we would never in anyone's wildest imagination come remotely close to suggesting or approving of, endorsing in any way what this gentleman did. It was wrong. It was horrific. It was murder, and he needs to face charges for that. But some are trying to equate what he did with our opposition to Planned Parenthood, Sam, when there is really no connection whatsoever. And again, Carly Fiorina, a GOP presidential candidate, tried to clarify that over the weekend. And she used this phrase, Sam. She said those that are trying to equate conservatives with what this gentleman did, she said it is, quote, typical of left-wing tactics. Let me ask you a question, Sam. Is she correct when she says that?
Well, Dave, she is. And when I was hearing this going on over the weekend, it was an amazing thing. Before they even knew, I mean, they were saying they didn't know where this individual was. They knew that something was going on. They knew that it was in proximity to the Planned Parenthood they thought, but they didn't know. I heard the reports going back and forth, but there was an immediate assertion that this individual was a pro-lifer, that who was a gun-wielding pro-lifer who was there attacking this Planned Parenthood. Then they came back and said, well, they weren't quite sure. They were all over the board, but that's clearly where they were going. And then to say, to prove what you were saying, Dave, what the president then said was he used his opportunity on Saturday to jump on board on this whole thing to, again, clamor for gun control. I mean, it is shameless, It is shameless. And well, what the left, what they do to tie this together with people who are not what they say, and to accomplish an agenda, in this case, gun control, that the president said he's going to do something about before he leaves office.
Well, you know, Sam, what's so stunning about it is this, and this is something I noted in addition to what you just said, and that is the same people that are quick to jump to a conclusion and say that this man was somehow tied to conservatives, to gun owners, to those that are against abortion and so on. These are the same people, Sam, that when it is obvious, overtly obvious, that an act of terrorism was committed by someone committed to the Islamic ideology, they do everything they can to delay admitting that or refuse to admit it whatsoever. Let me ask you, why is that in your opinion?
Dave, I keep calling you Gary.
Again, I've been called worse, so that's okay.
I know. You know, we've all worked together so long. But the reason of it is because these are now fundamentally dishonest reporters. This is not a media as envisioned by our founders when they gave part of their part of it, the protection in the First Amendment for expression of speech. These are people who are clearly identified with a manipulating of the facts and a presentation of a narrative that is not based on truth. And as you say, it happens over and over and over again, which is why programs like ours and other programs that are across the country are critical for people. If they're going to know the truth, they have got to listen to something other than mainstream media.
Well, absolutely, Sam. And let me just, while we're on the topic, let me go to this question, because over the weekend, you may have seen some of this. I saw a good degree of this on social media. I saw it on the internet, various other things beyond just social media. But there were a number of articles written basically saying this. In fact, one post on Facebook said this, quote, right-wing anti-abortionists have killed more than the Syrian refugees. I want you to think about that, Sam. Now, let me ask you, is that in any way a justifiable comparison?
No, it's not only not true, it's not justifiable, and they could never prove it. But it hangs out there as a statement given with some credibility because it came from somebody in the press. That's a delusional statement. Talk about the delusional statement earlier on. No, Dave, it's not true, but yet it hangs out there as a statement intended to manipulate the minds of those who were listening to just that one line of media. And unfortunately, there are too many people who get their steady diet just from that.
Well, Sam, let me ask this before we shift to talk a little bit about national security and so on. Those that would, let's say, read something like that on the internet, and I know there's a lot of information communicated on the internet that's not factual, that's not accurate, but for somebody, Sam, who lacks the reasoning skills or whatever, to not see beyond that false analogy and to see that that is a totally unjustifiable comparison, what can those of us who are committed to the truth say or do to help people not be duped and deceived by false analogies and false statements like that?
Well, Dave, I think the only thing that we can do is like what we're doing now. You present the truth and you present the way of thinking, because ultimately dishonesty is a way of thinking. Dishonesty is a choice. Manipulation of people is a choice. Deception is a choice. And really what we are seeing in these days are days of great deception, where truth is thrown out the window. And of course, we've talked about it a lot. If you throw truth out the window and you throw God out the window, what are you left with? You're left with whatever you want to make truth to be. This is what you're saying. So as the Christians of the early days were told to go out and check these facts out, you know, so that they knew whether or not they were true, as the Bereans used to do back in those early days, we also must be diligent to check out the facts before we repeat it, and to check the truth and to make sure, which we try to do very carefully in this program, before we make statements or bring up issues as we do, so that we are not participating in perpetuating a lie.
Well, you know, Sam, one of the things we would even encourage our listening audience to do is hear what we have to say, check out what we have to say. Don't just accept it at face value, though we do thorough diligence to try to make sure everything we communicate on this program has been accurately researched. But, Sam, we are fallible just like anybody else, and so people should check out even what we say. We don't mind that they do that whatsoever. Now, I know we've got just about 30 seconds before we have to go into the break, but, Sam, following the break, I want to go to this discussion of what happened over the weekend, and that is the National Security Agency's inability now to collect metadata, phone records. Is that going to in any way jeopardize the security of the United States? And then also we're going to talk about what Vladimir Putin did over the weekend in calling for sanctions against Turkey and how that may change Turkey's stance globally as far as who their loyalty may ultimately be to. Friends, a lot of things to discuss following the break. Please come back after these brief messages and join us for more of Stand in the Gap today.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. Day one for global climate talks in Paris being held under tight security.
Some 11,000 police and soldiers spread out across Paris after terror attacks some 2 weeks ago left 130 dead here. The probe of those attacks still unresolved.
Fox's Greg Palcott in Paris. President Obama, meantime, meeting earlier today with Russian President Vladimir Putin, Russian involvement in Syria and Ukraine among the topics discussed. Jury selection underway in Baltimore. A trial set for the first police officer accused in the Freddie Gray case. Officer William Porter charged with manslaughter.
Prosecutors hope to have Officer Porter testify against his comrades, the other five officers in this case.
Fox's Leland Vittert in Baltimore. Six officers indicted in all after Freddie Gray's death in April sparked days of rioting. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia, broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area, streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. There's pending legislation in Harrisburg that threatens religious liberty, putting at risk Christian schools, faith-based ministries, and even Christian-run businesses. The proposal is called the Fairness Act, but in truth what it would do is equate the biblical view of human sexuality, specifically in the area of marriage, as the same as racial bigotry. Christian schools would be severely restricted in hiring decisions and policies, and no longer be free to make those decisions based on scriptural perspectives on marriage. Professional licenses would be denied to people who refuse to agree that the union of two men or two women is the same as marriage between a man and a woman. School locker rooms and public restrooms will be forced to open to people of the opposite sex who identify otherwise. Bottom line, the bills are dangerous to religious liberty and tolerance. Take action by finding out more at our website at pafamily.org and going to our Citizen Action Center.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today. And let me again encourage you, if you'd like to know more about this program or listen to a past program that you were not able to listen to live, you can go to our standinthegapradio.com website. That's standinthegapradio.com. You can also find out about the two other programs that are part of the Stand in the Gap Radio Network, and that is Stand in the Gap Weekend, which is a program that is traditionally hosted, typically hosted by Sam Rohr and Gary Dull. And that is an outstanding program where a sermon is played and then analysis and commentary on that sermon application at the end of it by Sam and Gary. Outstanding, outstanding thing to listen to. And then there's also Stand in the Gap Minute, which is a 60-second commentary that Sam does on some pertinent issue that's a hot item in the news. And Sam does a powerful, powerful job succinctly addressing those things. And so that's two other components of our Stand in the Gap Radio Network. I would encourage you to locate our Stand in the Gap Radio website by going to standinthegapradio.com, found out more about those two programs, as well as listening to any programs you've missed on our daily program called Stand in the Gap Today. Sam, let me jump right into the middle of this National Security Agency issue, and let me back up and give a little bit of history. So our listening audience, who's probably aware of most of this, I would think, but just as a reminder, let me back up and just kind of set the stage, and then I want to ask you some questions. Of course, in 2001, 9/11, we were brutally attacked. As a result of that, an act was passed that has been called the Patriot Act. And that Patriot Act gave quite broad parameters to our security apparatus to mine data, collect data from smartphones, from online and other electronic usage. But in 2013, there was a gentleman named Edward Snowden who worked for the NSA. He was actually an NSA contractor who basically revealed a lot of that program, the extent to which the program was able to go in going into individual people's lives and finding out things about them, collecting information about them. As a result of all of that, we, of course, had a tweaking of the Patriot Act. And this past June, there was an act passed called the USA Freedom Act, which limits the NSA's authorization to bulk collect smartphone, online, and other electronic metadata. And so basically, all of the ability to collect that information like was done after 9/11/01 ended this past Sunday. And so, Sam, my question to you is this. With this new limitation upon the security apparatus, requiring them to go directly to telecommunications companies to get the data, is that going to make the United States of America, is that going to make us as individual citizens more in jeopardy, more susceptible to a terror attack?
Dave, my sense is that it may likely be used as an excuse when something happens next to be a justification to not only reinstate but take it even further. If that makes sense to you.
It does, Sam. It makes great sense.
Because really what happened was that 9/11 became the justification for this Patriot Act to come forth, and it was an amazing thing how quickly that entire body of information seemed to have almost been sitting on a shelf, came flying off, put together, and it was immediately passed as a defensive action because of 9/11. It happens whenever I see that kind of thing happen. I'm saying I smell a rat to begin with, because you can't put together something of that type. It was already percolating, was already being a matter of discussion. That was the catalyst to make it happen. But when it took place, there were sweeping changes that there was a part of Homeland Security coming into being. There were sweeping changes put into place that bore down on surveillance of all types, cameras included. There was a great move put forward to incorporate things into the use of biometrics. That's the monitoring of people's faces, which is done through cameras. It can actually be done now through satellites. It's been put into place across our country with all of our driver's licenses. All of the photos on driver's licenses now are called biometric data. It's there. It's all linked together with these huge databases that are throughout the country that are massive, massive computer bases that handle all of this information. So when you make a financial transaction online, you make a Facebook posting online, you do emails, these things are all right now grasped and put into a great pot, and they sort these things through looking for certain things. Now, they would say that because they've done that, that they have preempted and stopped certain terrorist actions to happen. On the other hand, you could say is that, wait a minute, you are collecting data that otherwise would have required a court subpoena. in order to do it, because don't we have some right to privacy? This is the battle that's been underway. And so, Dave, those concerned about constitutional rights were successful in getting this thing to terminate. But I believe that those who want more surveillance, which is our administration plus more, are going to likely come up with some example, I think, of what happens when you don't do this. Frankly, they want more collection of data, Dave, not less.
Well, you know, Sam, as Rahm Emanuel said, you never let a good crisis go to waste. And so if, perchance, something tragic should happen in the United States again, and we pray it never does, that incident will be used as the springboard to press, as you're saying, for more of the collection of this kind of data and perhaps the re-implementation of this component of the Patriot Act. Sam, let me ask this, because this goes to a deeper issue and potentially even a prophetic component to this. The scripture talks in Revelation 13 about during the tribulation, that seven-year tribulation that follows the departure of God's people to heaven via an event that is commonly called the rapture of the church. During that seven-year tribulation, an individual called the Antichrist implements, again, what is called in theological terms and is even known in the general public as the mark of the beast. And that mark of the beast is something that is implemented. And, of course, there's been huge discussion about how that mark is applied or how it is used. And, of course, I don't want to necessarily get into that per se, but that mark of the beast forces people to accept that. They have to take that mark, whatever it is, however it's applied or implemented, because the Bible says in Revelation 13, they won't buy or sell unless they have that mark or the number of the beast, the Antichrist's name. So Sam, the Antichrist will have the capability of controlling the global population via this mark of the beast that prohibits people from even buying or selling unless they have it. Now, my question to you is this. Following 9/11, not only was there this rapid implementation of the Patriot Act, but Sam, there was this willingness on the part of the American people to endure incredible intrusions into our privacy. In fact, Sam, every time I go through an airport, I feel like I almost have to disrobe to get on an airplane. There was a time that would have never been tolerated. It's now the new norm because we accept it for the sake of security. My question to you, Sam, is this. Are things like the Patriot Act and other components of our national security apparatus, are they literally a precursor to the mark of the beast?
Dave, I believe, in fact, they are, and I certainly think that they are cultivating the ground of acceptance. As you say, we've moved a long way. What we now, we'd say, endure or go through would have been beyond the pale not that many years ago. What we accept to be normal now was abnormal and illegal back some years ago. So we've already shifted a great deal. And the ultimate control, which obviously is manifest what you're talking about, when you think about it, when you can't buy or sell, meaning literally every economic transaction is going to be controlled. Well, some years ago you couldn't think that how that could be. Well, now you know how it's all linked. That is a powerful mechanism for control of the behaviors and the actions and the mobility of all people around the world. That is what this new world government, I believe, is about. We started talking the program about the global warming thing that's going on over there now, and really the intent of the New World Order group to impose a world tax and a world system of control, and they're all in on the surveillance. They're all in on it. I believe that it is, in fact, connected, Dave, and it has the ability, because of all of the sophistication, all the satellites, all of the tracking that's going on right now, literally, you and I or anyone else listening right now can do anything without somebody knowing what they're doing. Literally, it's to that point.
Sam, let me ask this. Over the weekend, in fact, in the last 24 hours, information has come out that there were several employees, maybe more than just several, that worked at the airport there in Paris. There are other airports, even within the United States, that had employees that worked there for some period of time and then left there and engaged in terror-related activity at some place else around the world. In other words, we had people working in our airports that had security clearances to be working in very, very treacherous, dangerous areas where someone that has a any question whatsoever as far as their loyalties to America should never be working there. And yet these people were able to get security clearance to work in those places and then ultimately left and then were involved in perpetrating acts of terror. Sam, can you see how this idea of having a national ID card that has all kinds of information on it that can almost instantaneously be scanned and tell authorities what the background of that individual is? Can you see how all of that, even these that are coming into America as refugees, if there is a global ID system, we can know whether they're dangerous or not? This has potential, Sam, to go a lot of very dangerous places, does it not?
Absolutely, Dave. Absolutely. Without a question, it does. We need to be on our guard.
Well, friends, we're going to be talking following the break about Vladimir Putin and what he did over the weekend in suggesting sanctions against the country of Turkey and what all that will mean to Turkey's presence, possibly even in NATO. Come back following the break for an outstanding discussion on this and other topics.
Do you have a 401k and are unsure what to do with it? Are your retirement savings actively managed? Hi, this is Mark Magruder, an enrolled agent, tax advisor, and wealth manager at the Life Financial Group, a wealth management firm specializing in helping successful Christian families make wise financial decisions so they can better provide for their families, plan for retirement, and fund kingdom ministries. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "It is required of stewards that they be found faithful." If you'd like to work with someone of like faith in the areas of taxes, investments, insurance, retirement, or discuss Social Security and estate planning, give me a call to set up a comprehensive financial review at no cost to you. Call me today, 1-800-688-5800. That's 800-688-5800. Or visit us online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow. This week we celebrate Thanksgiving, a wonderful time to be with family and friends. But in the midst of family, don't forget the essence of Thanksgiving. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. In the Old Testament, God often referred to the giving of thanks accompanied by willing sacrifice. Psalm 50 says giving thanks equates to paying our vows to God. Thanksgiving is literally a time of giving back to God what we owe Him, our praise and thanks for His goodness and mercy. Even in the midst of trouble and war, we should be grateful for all who God is. We can replace pride with humility and self-sufficiency with dependency on Him. We urge fathers to lead their families in looking to God, not government, and to look up and sacrifice, not around in covetousness. It may help to remember that the first pilgrim Thanksgiving was marked not with feasting, but fasting. They had it right. I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network, urging all of us to give God what we owe Him this Thanksgiving, our praise.
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
PA Leadership Charter School, lead, don't follow.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania.
Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org. pacs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. Along with Sam Rohr, this is Dave Kistler, and we're privileged to be your host today. Dr. Gary Adull is away on some much-needed R&R, and will be joining us again next week. Sam, before we go to this thing with Vladimir Putin and his calls for sanctions against Turkey, let me just bring this up because it's been on my heart, and it's something that's hot in the news, at least over the last 24 hours, and that has to do with Tim Tebow, former NFL quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner at the University of Florida. There's a lot of discussion about him breaking up with his girlfriend, and some are saying, in fact, it's being reported a number of places, that the reason that the breakup occurred is because Tebow has made a commitment to abstinence prior to marriage, and that that was the reason the breakup occurred. Now, whether that's true or whether it's not, Sam, I know that Tebow is he's out there. He's been very public about his commitment to waiting until marriage to have an intimate relationship. And that is a biblical concept, to be sure. And as a father of children, which I am, which you are, Sam, don't you appreciate that someone like Tim Tebow, whether this is the reason for the breakup or not, that he would be that out front with respect to his commitment to honor what the Word of God has to say about abstinence?
No, Dave, absolutely. I mean, that is the kind of thing that you hope and pray that you see in your children, that that exhibition of frankly, not just discipline, but it's the highest respect that a man can give to his future wife.
Indeed. To
be abstinent until marriage. And that's why I think that perhaps if we find the full scoop on that story, that it probably is not what is being said. I mean, I think there are many in the culture who would like to point to a Tebow, because he has really been out in front with his Christian faith, to do things of this type. Again, I don't know all the facts on it, but I know there are many who would like to point to that as the evidence of a bygone, puritanistic, old-fashioned view of life that is just out of step and out of vogue with the modern culture, as a way of trying to make him look odd. But, Dave, it is far from odd. It may be more unusual in these days, but boy, oh boy, it's the kind of standard that if, in fact, were put in place, we wouldn't be having the problems that we're having with our younger generation and all the way through our young marrieds.
Well, I agree, Sam, 100%. And a number of years back, I got acquainted with Tim Tebow when he was still in high school. And he has been phenomenally consistent all the way through his 4 years at the University of Florida, phenomenally consistent all the way through his NFL career and up to this point. And so from Standing the Gap Today, we want to say kudos to Tim Tebow. We support you and appreciate your stand for righteousness and the gracious way in which you take that stand. Sam, let me go to you now and ask you, explain what happened over the weekend relative to Vladimir Putin's actions relative to sanctions against Turkey, and what you believe that may do to Turkey, what that may force Turkey to do, and how that in and of itself, if this does materialize, factors into the scenario, the configuration of nations mentioned in Ezekiel 38.
Well, Dave, I think it's I am following what's happening. I think as most people are listening are following what's happening post the the shoot down of the Russian jet by Turkey with some interest. The commentary is all over the board, but one thing is sure. Russia has taken this opportunity to strengthen its position on the ground, moving in high-tech missiles, anti-missile equipment, S-400s into Syria, S-300s into Iran. There are a number of things that are happening, and he did not wait long at all to put extreme measures on Turkey, which he says to Turkey that they stabbed him in the back, that Turkey stabbed Russia in the back when they shot down the plane, which I think now everybody believes the plane was not in Turkey's airspace. It was in Syria. So Turkey was a provocator. They shot down a Russian plane. Putin says, all right, you're not going to do that again. So he now brings in missiles and says, anything happens from now on, we're not longer going to take it sitting down. You're going to lose your planes if you come after ours. So he comes back with a heavier stick than what was used against him. But he puts sanctions in place against Turkey. That does a whole lot of things. He's going to cut off their energy, which he supplies, Russia supplies Turkey with energy. The tourism business, which is big for Turkey, with Russian tourists, is being cut off. There's a number of things that are happening. And frankly, up until the point that was announced on Saturday, Turkey's president, President Erdogan, refused to apologize to Russia. It's that they justified what was being done. After Russia announced these sanctions, the president came back and apologized and said he was really sorry that it had happened. My point and my thinking here, Dave, is this. Turkey, while it's a member of NATO, is not a member of the European Union. The European Union is afraid of Turkey being a Muslim country from being a part of the European Union. Yet they want Turkey because of its powerful military and sitting right on the border above above Iran and between Europe effectively and Russia. They have wanted Turkey as a border protective nation. So they've said, come and be a part of NATO, but their ideology does not really bring them in connection with European Union. And so European Union folks have said, we don't want you apart. So Turkey has been half in, half out. Biblically, according to Ezekiel 38, Turkey is aligned with Russia when they come down, which we believe that's happening now with Russia coming in and coming around Israel. So I look and say, I believe these sanctions are likely because we know the biblical record. I think that we're going to see Turkey switch from NATO into alignment with Russia because, like most of the Muslim nations in the Middle East, they go to where they believe the perceived power to be, and that is Putin right now. That's not NATO, and that's not the United States. That's what I perceive has happened. I think we ought to view this with open eyes and ears because something is really happening. Dave, I know you've got some great thoughts on this as well. How is it striking you that this is going?
Well, Sam, I think you've said it about as well as it could be said. That was a powerful expose on exactly what's taking place. You know, Erdogan, as you said, would not apologize following the implementation or even the suggestion of implementation of these sanctions. Erdogan comes out, and I'm quoting him, and says, we wish it hadn't happened as such, but unfortunately such a thing has happened. I hope something like this doesn't happen again. And basically, he bows down in front of Putin. And mm-hmm. Sam, if this is what ultimately happens and the allegiance switches from NATO on Turkey's part to Russia, that is of keen prophetic significance. Sam, I want to ask you this. Of course, you talked about Ezekiel 38, Russia being the key nation, all these other nations, Turkey, Iran, Libya, and other nations that I won't mention, all of them come down against Israel at some point. When do you believe, Sam, in the next 30 seconds, when do you believe they come down against Israel from a prophetic standpoint?
I believe they come down perhaps right after the rapture or right very close to it, but they're right there. And they're not coming down against Israel right now. They're coming down against ISIS, but I think that's going to switch, and they're going to set their eyes on Israel.
Friends, stay tuned to Stand in the Gap today. And tomorrow, our guest is going to be Tom Wallace. We're going to be talking about Islam, its potential role in the end time scenario. So I want to encourage you to tune in for that. And until then, this is Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr, saying walk by faith, stand for freedom. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.